This hour of the Jason Rance Show brought to you by PRMI, Primary Residential Mortgage. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
So today you were able to get vaccinated with the J&J shot at a pop-up clinic in the U District. Now, anyone could actually go and get the shot, but the truth of the matter is it was mostly set up by the city of Seattle because they were trying to attract young students. It was a block from the University of Washington. They were trying to get young adults because that is the demographic right now that seems to be the most reluctant to get the vaccine. Grant Irving says to Cairo 7 TV, he just wanted to do the right thing, so he got shot in the arm. And it's only because he was in South Seattle, and then he went to U District, bullet wound and all, and said, give me another shot.
What a noble person.
I know. They gave him the right one.
Glad I did it. Arm hurts a little bit, but I feel like it was the right call.
And that was from the bullet wound. Because then he went into Lake City.
Was there any medicine in the bullet wound? Like, did they at least like dip it in the vaccine before it like was shot?
Not at all. So here's the kicker. You went in, you got your vaccine, and to entice everybody, they thought it was wise to bribe folks. What do you think they bribed them with?
Candy, food, pizza.
All the things that would work on you in a heartbeat.
100%.
Well, ice cream was involved.
You have my attention.
Beer.
Now you have my curiosity.
None of which was free.
Wait, what?
You got discounts on ice cream and beer. And by the way, they don't even say what the discounts were. They just say you got like a coupon.
That's exactly what I want after a vaccination, is a coupon somewhere that I still have to go and spend money at.
Right? This is so weird. So they set this place up, the pop-up, in between two shops where I think one place was a bar, I guess. They didn't actually show it in the Cairo 7 piece, but it was also an ice cream shop where you just got a discount on some ice cream. And presumably you drink the beer to get through the side effects?
I think that the benefits outweigh the costs. I mean, you might be sick for a little bit, but in the long run, it's really good for everybody.
And she's just talking about the hangover. Ha ha ha. So it started at noon. So you're getting kids sloshed, assuming you're 21 and over, because the 18, 19, 20-year-olds not going to be able to get into the bar. Or you're just getting them fatter. So the freshman 15 here, we're going to help contribute to that.
Well, it's a COVID-19.
The right COVID-19, now. We're going to get you to the 20. We're pushing you over the edge with some ice cream at a slight discount. If you're the kind of person who is going to be moved to get a shot via a perk of some kind, right? That you're lazy and you need to be motivated. You need to be bribed in some way, incentivized. A coupon feels like it's not going to do it.
Not at all.
Right?
No. You hand out a free t-shirt and I guarantee you everyone in the state of Washington shows up.
Free crap gets people motivated. I don't know why. It's garbage, but it's free, so people will do it. A coupon
does nothing.
Not even a little bit. We get the Val packs in our mail and we throw it away. We don't even open it because it's garbage.
Straight to the trash.
We don't want it. But if you give us a bag of lint, if it's free, we're like, oh my God, I just got a bag of lint.
At Mariners games, they used to give away soil at the end of some games. It was soil night, and I loved soil night. I did nothing with my soil, but it was free, so I enjoyed my big bag of soil.
It's like, hey, I soiled myself, and I'm giving it to you for free, and you're all so excited.
I was stoked.
So I don't know if this was a success, but I'm assuming they're going to pretend it was, because they don't want to be seen as a failure.
The city of Seattle does not want to be seen as a failure.
Right? And it's only up until 5 p.m. So Why couldn't you do this later in the evening? First of all, some of these college kids don't even get up until noon.
Yeah, if you want to get college kids, start a pop-up clinic
start
from like
at 5.
Yeah, and take it to like 2 a.m. You know how many
right?
2 a.m. walk-ups you'll get?
Here's the deal. Hey, dummies over there at the city of Seattle, you need to get more hip people on your staff if you want to actually reach the college kids.
Yeah, you got to understand the target audience.
I'm not saying I'm hip, but even I can come up with better ideas than what you guys are coming up with if your goal is to reach the kids. Here's what you do. You give them weed. And then you give them the shot.
Jason, do you realize...
That's illegal, probably.
Do you realize if the city of Seattle handed out weed to people in line to get their vaccines...
That would be the most Seattle thing to do!
Do you know how quickly Jason Rantz would end up with a story on Fox News outing the city about it?
Hey, dummy, that is my goal.
Oh, that's what you're trying to do?
That would be the lead on Tucker Carlson.
That's probably the exact reason why they don't want to hand out weed to, you know, the 57...
Well, now they're not going to do it because you just told them my plan.
Oh, the city of Seattle is listening?
Yes. So don't do that. Let's do, this is a better one. And this no ulterior motives, because now obviously I can't do it because you're an idiot who gave out my plan. So now I got to give him my goodwill because I feel bad. God, I feel bad. So let's give an actual one because, again, I do want people to get the vaccine. Give these kids, this is the way to get them in line. Give them pornography.
That's a good alternative. Yeah. I think that one would make a lot of sense.
Paid for with taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
And give them the syringe to take home.
What's the syringe for?
Whatever it is they want.
You can administer your own second vaccine.
No judgments. Also paid for with taxpayer dollars.
Oh, good.
And I'm not done.
Oh, there's more.
Yep.
It's like
the
Oprah.
Person administering the shot. Illegal immigrant.
I thought you were going to say homeless.
Nope.
That would have been good.
Nope.
Okay. Okay.
Illegal immigrant from the Tacoma Detention Center.
City of Seattle, are you listening? This is a great idea.
Because that's a partnership.
It's free advice right there from Jason Rantz.
Do that. And I think you'll be able to get the kids involved. And all of the planning should be done in an email. Sent via your Seattle.gov accounts. And please do it between certain hours so that my PDR goes through in a much easier way. So I don't have to do a more generic one. Because the general ones, they just send me like 10,000 emails that I gotta go through. And just actually make it easy. Put it at the bottom. Just put the code word Rantz. Because then I can just say, you know, send me all the emails that say code word Rantz.
Have you ever done a PDR for your name?
Oh, yes, I have.
Do you get a lot back?
Oh, yes, I have. 1-800-465-8770. Text the keyword contest to 1-800-465-8770. And I'm going to send you a link to... Join a contest to enter a contest to win a KTTH-branded Amazon Echo. We're giving away one every single day this month. All you have to do is enter at KTTH.com. We've made it really, really easy. We're giving one away every single day to make it so, so, so easy to listen on your smart speaker that we will give you. Text contest to 1-800-465-8770. And of course, if you already have a smart speaker, you can listen to the station, the show, any show on the station 24 hours a day. Plug it in your office, at your home. I have three in my home. One in my bedroom, one in my living room, and I have one in my bathroom.
You need all three?
Or do I need it or do I want it?
Or are you just excessive by choice?
I am wealthy. And I have to spend my money somewhere.
You have
and I
to?
I just wanted to rub that in with you.
Yeah, thanks.
Text contest to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
I am kind of disgusted by this story. I'm not going to lie. And I'm glad that Pepe, you pulled this story for me because, you know, I want to focus on stories of legitimate hate. I think it's important that we cover these stories. And I think it's important that we call out media outlets that peddle in this kind of trash, because every time around this time of year, we get this. In this case, it's coming from Cairo 7 TV, and I like them very much. And I don't mean to pick on them here, but they did something pretty egregious. The media in general, they sometimes just get homophobic. They do.
Wait, what are you picking on them for?
Why don't you let me do the story and shut the hell up and let me finish?
Okay.
This is disgusting. And by the way, also body shaming. And it's always out of the Greater East Side. It's almost always in Sammamish.
What are you trying to say about the Greater East Side right now?
Allison Grande, she's out there demeaning bears again.
Demeaning bears?
Is there an echo in the room?
Stop it.
She's demeaning bears, and I'm sick of it. This is wrong. Another story. Oh, bears were spotted in Sammamish, as if a bear can't wander around in his own community.
Jason.
Stop it. I'm calling this out because it's wrong.
Calling what out?
Maybe you don't understand, but sometimes people just want to be who they are. And sometimes members of a community are out and proud. And presumably this bear was out on the prowl. Presumably just got his second vaccine. Presumably headed to Cuff.
Where are
Capitol
bears
Hill.
Getting vaccinated?
Excuse me. Stop. There are mass vaccination sites all over the place. This bear was headed on out, in my mind, I'm assuming, to Cuff, maybe neighbors. Maybe he was just hungry and he was going out, and now there's a story, don't feed the bear. And she's out there, a reporter who I respect, saying to some random guy, hey, why don't you weigh in? Let's shame this bear in our community.
Seems like it's the same bears every year in the same area.
Yeah, well, maybe they live in Sammamish, because you know what? Bears, like twinks, like wolves, they can be your neighbors too. Maybe they live in your neighborhood. You can have a bear neighbor, like you can have an Asian neighbor, like you can have a black neighbor. Hey guy, this is 2021. We are terrorizing neighbors in our communities.
Is that 700 bears in King County? No, not at all. Probably 25 or 30.
Oh no. I thought this was supposed to be a gay-friendly community.
Wait, what? Jason.
So, yeah?
Why are you assuming that the bear is gay?
Are you an idiot?
I mean, you call
are
me
you
one
an
often.
An idiot?
You call me an idiot a lot.
Oh my god. Just stop. Just stop. This is not a story to be funny. Just stop. This is just a bear trying to live his life out and proud, and we've got cameras out there. I'm not even going to read the story, because anytime someone's all like, oh, a bear was spotted, again, trying to be a member of his community, and then this is shocking to me. I listened to the audio. This is shocking what we're trying to do, because we've become so intolerant in our communities.
Do not feed these bears. When that food source is gone, the bears are gone.
Can you believe we're doing this to a human being?
Jason.
We're doing the story. I don't need to read any more. This is cruelty to our neighbors.
How much of the story did you read?
I don't have to read any of the story. I know bigotry when I see it. I, as a member of the LGBTQ community, when I see this kind of stuff, I know it in my heart, and it's wrong.
If you're not going to do it for you, will you do it for me? And will you just finish reading the story? However far you got.
I read the headline.
It's not,
and
okay.
Then I listened to your audio.
It's not a long story. Just take a minute. Please read the story. I really need you to just read it. Who is the audio from?
What do you, like the guy who just spoke?
Yeah, you didn't cite the guy when you played the audio earlier.
His name is Kim Chandler.
And where is Kim Chandler from?
Let's see. Oh.
Are you still outraged?
Well, why didn't you tell me he was with the State Department of Fish and Wildlife? Why didn't you tell me this was an actual, like a bear?
No, this
like
is about
an animal.
Yeah, this is about bears. I asked you right at the start. I said,
"Why?" But you didn't tell me.
Why are you outraged over this story about bears? And then you basically called me a bigot for not being outraged.
Well, now, but I mean, you know why? Because I thought we were talking about gay men.
Okay, this is a great lesson to teach you how to read stories before you go on the air.
No, this is not. This is a lesson about being a better producer. You should have prepared me for the segment.
No, I know that you're a host.
Okay, excuse me. You gave me a story the other day about cougars, and what did I do? I defended cougars because I think it's wrong to go after older women just because they're interested in college-age men.
And what'd you not do?
Why should we shame them?
What'd you not do?
I defended her the entire time.
How much of the story did you read?
I don't have to read stories all the way through to be passionate.
Okay, when they talk about cougars in Mercer Island?
Yes, where else do they live? Also, weirdly, Sammamish and maybe Issaquah.
They're
and
talking
probably
about
Kirkland, honestly.
The furry four-legged creature that is part
again,
of
the- you assume that I'm immediately going to know that. But I would argue if it's Mercer Island or the Greater East Side, cougar. For me, I'm always going to obviously go to older woman.
You know, I live on the Greater East Side, and I don't have any sort of cougars or bears lurking in my neighborhood.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Newcastle.
Maybe I haven't explored enough out there, but...
Newcastle?
I think you're a little close-minded on this one, Jason. I think you need to open up your brain tank when you start reading these stories, and you gotta be like, hey, let me take a step back. Is this talking about the animal, or is this talking about the human in slavery?
I get passionate about my community. So, they're seeing just bears again?
Yes. Out in,
okay, so you're not supposed to feed them?
Don't feed the bears. That keeps them around.
But then they get hungry.
Okay, they can go find their food not in your Sammamish neighborhood.
But then won't they just eat you?
No, they'll just leave. Isn't
Will
that
they,
what
though?
The last audio clip that you played said? That when the food supply runs out, they'll leave?
But then no, you become the food supply?
I mean, depends on how angry the bear is.
Well, don't you get hangry?
I'm assuming if it listened...
You get hangry?
I get very hangry. Yes, I do. I'm assuming if it listened to your show and it saw you, it'd be like, hey, I may eat that guy. Guy got my story all wrong.
Please, it would eat you in a heartbeat. How much food do you have right now on your person?
Okay, let's
yeah,
not
Yeah, how
make
much
this
food do you have in your pockets right now? Right now, how much food? Donuts, yeah. Loose, like literally loose food right now.
Yeah, a couple of donuts, chicken nuggets. I yeah. stopped on the way into work. I got some nuggets, a couple of sauce packets. You uh-huh. never know when you're going to need those.
TV dinners that have already been heated.
Well, they're kid cuisines,
yeah,
so
exactly.
They're on the smaller end. It's not like the Hungry Man where it's a pound of food. This one, I can...
Yeah, that's not a Hungry Man.
It's
not a Hungry Man, the one that's right now in your shirt pocket, the front
fits,
pocket.
It fits, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You don't think a Hungry Man would fit in a shirt pocket, so I'm not going to admit that it's a Hungry Man.
Yeah, because what's in the cargo pants?
You know what?
Yeah, exactly.
Why did this turn into an attack on me? I'm the one who had the story right. I get to eat all the uh-huh. food I want as a reward.
Yeah, well, you screw things up all the time, and you eat all the food, too. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation, send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text.
Yelm, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning. And alpineclean.com, this is the time of the show where we ignore everything out of Seattle and spend all of our time focused on the communities that you live in and care about most. And we start in the Bellevue area, not necessarily Bellevue itself, but the Bellevue School District, because they decided to pull police officers from its campuses. And parents are really, really upset, and they should be.
The superintendent let it slip that we would no longer have SRO officers. The board was floored. Every parent in there was floored. We had no clue.
That is a mother of a kid over at Sammamish High School. Her name is Christine. She spoke to Dory Monson, our friend, on our sister station, Cairo Radio. And she said that the district superintendent surprised pretty much everyone by this decision. And the parents are upset. Not only because their kids are now vulnerable to threats, God forbid if they were to happen, but because they weren't even consulted. The superintendent just decided willy-nilly to make this move without even talking to them. Now, Christine says the superintendent told them that the police, oh, they could be here in 2 minutes if need be. But Christine asked, well, how many people die by the time an officer can respond and then find exactly where the threat happens to be on a campus? Every second counts between when an officer gets that call to go to a shooting on a campus and when they interact with the shooter or shooters.
We're mostly angry about the fact that AR kits are not protected, and they never told us, and they lied.
Bellevue Police Department said there have been 6,700 documented interactions with students by school resource officers, these SROs. And of all of those 6,700 documented interactions, there has only been one arrest. One. That's important because we normally hear from anti-police activists who want to take all of these officers off of campuses that even having one cop on campus leads to trauma, leads to the school-to-prison pipeline, which is, of course, ridiculous, which is, of course, a talking point that bears no resemblance to any reality. 6,700 interactions with just one arrest. That actually shows you that these officers know what it is they're doing.
For the superintendent to say, well, we did a deal with the Bellevue police and they said they could be here in 2 minutes. My thing was, in a school shooting incident, 2 minutes is how many deaths?
Exactly. She's 100% correct. This is despicable. The superintendent should feel ashamed. And the parents, I hope, are taking notice at what's happening all across the country. Whether it has to do with the mask mandates that parents are pushing back against or the critical race theory nonsense that's happening, you have parents in some of the smaller and mid-sized communities taking over and saying, enough. You don't get to make these decisions without our input, and if you're going to make the wrong decision, we're just going to take over. And right now in Bellevue, you can overrule this if you want. The superintendent doesn't get to make these decisions without your interaction. You do not have no power. You do not find yourselves in a position without having any power. You do not find yourself in a position where you can be ignored. You have more power than you think. So you need to organize. And you need to push back. This is unacceptable. And you know it's unacceptable. We need to stop demonizing police officers. This is yet another way far left-wing activists, including the superintendent, demonize cops. By pulling them from the schools, you're telling students that cops cannot be trusted. The whole reason why you interact with students and cops, you create that interaction, is to prove to them that cops can, in fact, be trusted. Every positive interaction between individuals creates a better relationship. Every time you have a good interaction with a teacher, you trust that teacher even more, and you trust teachers at large even more. Same thing goes with cops. This is disgusting, and it's happening all across the state. And in many cases, it's happening without parents even realizing it. So the parents in the Bellevue School District, ball's in your court. What are you going to do? And then finally, a whole bunch of red swastikas were painted on trees in Southwest County Park near Edmonds, and obviously people are unhappy.
It's inappropriate anywhere, but it's surprising here, I think.
That's kind of weird for me to hear from this passerby, Amy, talking to Cairo 7 TV. She was shocked. But I seem to remember a story about 2 months ago about how Edmonds was just filled with hate. Edmonds is a city filled with white supremacy. That's what Mike Nelson, the mayor, had said, I recall. Do you remember that? They had to go with a person of color for the Edmonds police chief.
It was despicable.
Because of all the white supremacy. And, you know, it was just bubbling at the surface. And just, you could barely see it, but it was there. Filled with it. And maybe this is how it's expressing itself. Now, of course, Mike Nelson, the hero mayor of Edmonds, woke white dude, says we need to speak out about it.
The history of what that means is so powerful. We need to make sure that we aren't just silent about it.
Oh. Talk. Tell me, please. Explain to me what the swastika is. He wants night vision cameras to be placed in parks all around town because he wants to catch the vandals. He's also asking local schools to spend more time teaching about anti-Semitism. Now, I'm going to assume he thinks children are behind this. That's my understanding, based on a comment he made that I'm not entirely sure I understand, unless he believes kids are behind this.
There's nothing childlike about promoting white supremacists. There's nothing childlike about promoting messages of hate.
I read this Cairo 7 story, and I, not kidding you, 1.7 trillion times. Literally.
Like today?
No, it took 2 days.
Okay. No wonder you're behind on show prep.
Yeah, we were going to do it yesterday, and we didn't because I wanted to read it. At a point yesterday, I was like 233 million times deep. They don't explain why he said childlike, but I'm going to put two and two together and assume he thinks a kid did this because that's the only explanation that makes sense in the context of the words he used. If a child put the swastika there, or children maybe, and he has reason to believe that, that does change things a little bit for me. Not that it makes it right, obviously. It's still inappropriate. It's still wrong. But I'm assuming either, number one, it's a Nazi child, or number two, the kid was doing it for non-Nazi reasons, non-white supremacist reasons. And thus, my reaction's going to be slightly different. You still punish the kid. You still make an example out of him, right? But we don't have to go overboard in our response to it. And unlike Mike Nelson, I'm the Jew who will speak out against it, who doesn't go overboard in every instance of so-called hate crimes. This doesn't seem like a hate crime if he thinks it's a literal kid who's doing this. That's the only part of this story I legitimately can't figure out.
I thought you hated kids. Don't you want to just shame this kid and like?
Oh, I'll shame the kid just for being a child.
No, I think like you should bring him on the air or her. I'm not. Yeah, it could be either him or her.
It's a dude.
Oh,
come on.
See, Jason, that's a sexist mindset right there. It could just as equally be a woman who is drawing these swastikas all over Edmonds.
When have you ever heard of a story of a woman being responsible for a swastika?
I'll have to check the archives.
You find me during this commercial break a single instance of a news story anywhere in this, we're not counting Germany, anywhere in this country of a woman being responsible for a swastika, or even, I'll let you just go into an anti-Semitic theme, a woman being responsible. You won't be able to find one. Symbolism. That's where we're going.
I get the whole commercial break to look for.
Yeah, but it has to be vandalism of anti-Semitic imagery.
Okay.
Obviously, swastika is the number one thing, but I'm going to let you branch out a little bit. They're usually men. They're usually men. Why are you? It's sexist for you to be eager to find a woman.
Well, there's no way that could be factual. That's always.
I'm
men.
Just saying. I've never heard of a story of a woman. I'm looking forward to finding a female bigot, a female anti-Semitic bigot.
You're looking forward to that.
I am looking forward to that day. Because then, truly, we have reached equity.
Oh, good.
I guess. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rants Show. Caroline Scott was on Fox and Friends earlier this morning, and she's got a story that's kind of gotten some viral attention because she says she was discriminated against by Southwest Airline, thanks to something that happened concerning her son Orion's disability. 3 years old, Orion, and he has an issue wearing masks, or at least potentially. Something that she warned them about ahead of a flight.
I called the airline ahead of time because my son has something called sensory processing disorder, which is something that he feels sensations more intensely than others would. So, for example, sight, touch, things like that. So wearing a mask for Orion is challenging, but he can do it. He's been working really hard with his occupational therapist, with his doctors, with us as his parents. And so I had called the airline ahead of time just to let them know that my son had sensory processing disorder and that we didn't need an exemption. He can wear his mask and he will, but that if he had any frustration or difficulties, that we as his parents had the tools and skills that we needed to help him to cope with that and to keep his mask on.
So you heard her say, we don't need an exemption. We're giving you a heads up just to be good stewards of your time and ours. We just want to do the right thing. And that's what they thought they were doing. They confirmed they would get all their info in order. They confirmed they would get a note with the information of her condition or the son's condition on their ticket. And they were told there would be no issue whatsoever once they checked in. Except, it turns out, once they checked in, there was an issue. There was an issue at the gate. The supervisor said, it's all going to be okay. But she settled into her seats. And then the captain got involved. The captain said, the rules are the rules, and if there are any moments where the mask gets taken off, we just can't have that. So you're going to have to get off the actual flight. And that kind of threw this mother. Because you just said there wasn't going to be an issue. You just said it's all good. The supervisor just previously said at the gate it would not be. What in the world is going? Why are you not listening to me?
The supervisor arrived and walked us down to the plane where we were met by the co-pilot, who was super nice and friendly. He gave my son a little set of wings and said, you can keep your mask on, right, buddy? My son said, yep, and showed him his Spider-Man mask. Mm-hmm. Then the captain arrived. The captain walked right past us into the cockpit, and the supervisor went over there to talk to him, and he was not explaining things correctly. He said something to the pilot of, oh, you know, this kid has some kind of facial issue where he might not keep his mask on.
Oh, my gosh.
And I tried to interject. I tried to tell them that's not the situation.
Right.
He can keep his mask on. I have doctor's notes, a occupational therapist note, you know, supporting us. But they wouldn't listen to me. They wouldn't talk to me.
So guess what they did to this family? Kicked him right off the flight. Right off the flight. Because the captain didn't feel comfortable. Because God forbid, by the way, if the 3-year-old took off the mask. Because, oh my gosh, all hell would break loose.
Well, we were discriminated against. And so the supervisor in front of a plane full of people said, I'm sorry, your family needs to get off the plane. The captain does not feel comfortable with your family on it today.
My goodness.
And we were deplaned not for our behaviors, but for disclosing my son's disability.
Would you feel comfortable on a flight with that family, or would you feel uncomfortable on a flight with that captain?
The captain.
I'm uncomfortable with the captain. I'm comfortable with the family.
Yeah, I'm cool with the family.
I'm down with the family. That's pathetic. It's totally pathetic. Can we move on from this nonsense with a three-year-old not even wearing... I don't even care about the disability part anymore and the struggle. Let's just say, oh, it was on, off. I don't care. I don't care if a three-year-old, period, has the stupid mask on. It's a three-year-old kid. Let's all relax. Just real quick, before we go to a break, you did some research?
I did do some research.
And you could not find anything.
I found one story, like,
one.
Very quickly.
You
but,
found one story.
Yeah, I found one story. There was... Earlier in, or sorry, 2020, last year, there was a report that University Heights, Ohio, a 23-year-old woman and a 16-year-old faced criminal charges that accused them of painting swastikas and anti-Semitic images on several University Heights businesses.
Hmm. How do you know they're women when gender is fluid?
Okay, they're swastika-drawing people, according to the left.
People who draw swastikas. Get it right. Okay, there you go. I stand corrected. We found one story.
One story.
In the last...
But there's two women in it.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.